So if you have a Bible, kindly turn with me to Psalm 78, verse 1 to 8. And I want to read to you from the New American Version. Okay, it says here in verse 1, "Listen, my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will tell riddles of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." And verse 4 is my concentration. "We will not conceal them from their children, but we will tell the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His power and His wondrous works that He has done. For He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they were to teach them to their children, so that the generation to come would know the children yet to be born, that they would arise and tell them to their children, so that they will put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but comply with His commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God." Mga mungyo kita tanan. Father, I want to commit this launching message to you. I just pray that Holy Spirit, you will grip our heart today. Simple as it may be, I pray that you will anoint this message and speak to our hearts today, O Lord. Holy Spirit, you take over. In Jesus' name, I ask and I pray. Today is the seventh day into the new year 2024. And by the end of this year, ETAC will be 38 years old. Pastor Tony and I, we came to Iloilo City at the age of 25 and 23 years old, respectively. This year, 2024, we will be 63 and 61 years old, respectively. Let me show you a picture of our olden days. Okay, I mean, I should show you the picture of 1986, but I would like to show you a picture of both of us in 1987. We were already here in the Philippines. Look at how ugly Pastor Tony was and how pretty I am. And the next picture, 1988. This was our second house, all right, in Iloilo City, number 32, Don Francisco Village. And it was taken during the Christmas party December, where we were playing games with our church. 1988. And in this picture, look at me. I look so slim, but actually, I was already 3 months pregnant. That is us. And today, or rather just only last week, look at our picture. Taiwan. We just came back from Taiwan. Can you see the great changes from the youthful looking now to the senior citizen Ichora? It's a long, long journey. It is a long, long service. There were some who came alongside with us in 1986 who are still with us today. I remember in the subsequent years of 1986, I used to lead a cell group at Baluarte. Every week, when I entered Tatay Tino's house, a big group would have gathered, and there were many kids there too, many children. These sites are all the children, all the adults will be here. Among them were Maricel Di Ala, Maria Cecilia Barcelona, who were about 7 to 10 years old at that time. And each time when I see them, or each time when I saw them, they would always, you know, when I enter the front door, they would always, you know, see me. "Good evening, Pastor Lily. Pastor, guapaka." I also remember one of the hoo-ha at that time was Gideon, who was just only a baby, would always wet his katri. So look at the picture of these three kids that I met. Maria Cecilia, Maricel, and baby Gideon. Can you see them? Yeah, Maricel looked like they were so cute. Even Cecilia Barcelona, they were very pretty. And Gideon, always wetting the bait. Today, all these kids are HOD, Heads of Department of TKC, Assistant HOD of T-Zone, and Senior Youth Leaders of T-Zone. Show them the present time. Look at them. They have become older, like Pastor Tony and me, and they become more prosperous physically. Look at the valley of prosperity. Look there. Today, three of them, the three cutest kids I saw in Baluarte, are now engaging in a ministry to the next generation. And that is the right trajectory they should proceed. I want to tell you today, brothers and sisters, many of our members who came in the 1980s are now in the 50s to the 70s, like Pastor Carlos and Sister Tessie Gailo. Some have even expired and gone to be with the Lord, like Tata Tino. And those who came in the 1990s, whether it is late 1980s or the early 1990s, are now in their 40s, like Elder Joel. And those who came in the early 2000s are now in their 30s, like Brother Marco Corrado. And those who came in the late 2000s are now in their 20s, like Elder Cherry Ann. Presently in this church, there is a big group of youth, teens, and kids which constitute half of our attendance. Kaina Belasa SCG, I ask for a show of hand. Who belongs to the GI generation, those born in 1900? Zero. Because if you were to be born in 1900, you'll be 100 years old to 120 years old. Voila! So I ask, who are those born in a silent generation? Manga about maybe 20 plus to 1945. That if they were to be alive, they'll be 90 years old, 70 to 90 years old. Okay? Voila! So I ask, who are born in the boomers generation, 1945 to 1965? A few. Me included. Pastor Tony and me, we are under the boomers. But when I ask, who are the Gen X? Those born in the 80s. Okay, also a few. But when I ask, who are born in the generation Y? 88 onwards to 1996. Big group come out. Then I ask, who is born after 1996? Another big group come out. They are the Gen Z. So here I want to tell you, there's a big group of youth in this church. There are three generations in our church. The 1980s generation, the 1990s generation, and the 2000 generation. No more is ETAP a church comprising of young pastors and members. I remember in 1986 when I came, there was this wife of a Chinese member. She didn't like me. She never addressed me as a pastor. She always called me Sister Lily. And she came to me and told me sourly, I really wish that my pastors are not as young as you, but are old, like Pastor Philip Nang's assistant pastor, Pastor Kusa, that is about 50 years old. You guys are so young. As I said, we were only 24 years old. How many years old did I say I was? Okay, 25 and 23 years old. Today, nobody can say we are young. We are already senior citizens. I want to tell you a very sad fact. ETAP is aging. While those who are babies and kids in the early years, like the three members that I've just showed you, have now sprouted to become adults. While those born in the 2000 era are now the new generation of our church. And there are many, many more out there. The Y generation, known as the millennials, born between 1981 and 1986. So today, if you're born between these years, 1981 to 1996, you are known as the millennials. And out there are many Z generation that are born between 1997 to 2012. They are known as the boomers, the zoomers, the post-millennials, or the Gen Y5. And also in our TKC, we have so many alpha generation born between 2012 until the present year. Brothers and sisters, as Manga Christians, we are under a divine obligation to teach the next generation the truth about the Word of God, so that the next generation will understand that they are His children, and that they will know that God has a plan for their lives and to be equipped to face life. This pattern of instruction should continue without a gap from one generation to the next. Ang mga ginikanan in particular have the responsibility to introduce their children to the Lord. The key text that we read in Psalm 78 describes God's truth, that God's truth should be passed down from one generation to the next. It tells us that serving Christ is God's will. At the time that Psalm 78 was written, the Bible had not yet been completed. As the words of Moses in Genesis all the way down to Deuteronomy were taught to the people, they were expected to pass down the information about Yahweh to their children verbally. But today, we are so blessed. We have the Holy Bible, the infallible, eternal Word of God, in which everything is written that we need to know so that we can teach and pass on the instruction to our children. Today is the first service of the year 2024. And the theme of this year is touching the next generation. And in line with this theme, that will be my sermon title for today, touching the next generation. Like the Israelite, we too have been entrusted with the responsibility to teach by instruction as well as example. Teach what? Teach the truth of the Word of God, which will result in desire to walk obediently before the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. Since both instruction and example are necessary, we must have consistency between what we say and what we do if we want to pass down God's truth to the next generation. Our instruction should include a few principles. There are 9 of them. Okay? Our instruction should include the principles of God's word that we have read, learned, and live out in our life. In other words, our personal testimony. If you want to touch the next generation, there's no other weapon, there's no other tools you can use except the Word of God. Like the Old Testament saints, we must teach our children who God is, what He has done, and how He expects us to live. Instruction alone is not important. Just talking and talking about the Bible is not important. We, as leaders, as parents, we must also teach by example how to obey the Lord. Our instruction should also include 2, the story. So the very first principle that we should pass down to the next generation is the Word of God, or God's Word. 2 is our story. Although we may feel as if we don't know enough to pass on scriptural truth, we all have a story to tell. Basta, you're born again. My historia kena. You have a story already. The story is about before you know the truth. Who are you? Now you receive the truth. Who are you? That is your story. I remember this lady, Mary Baxter. She was born crippled. She was born bent over, all bent over. And even though she's ready, maybe 15 years old, or maybe a teenager, she's only this small because she was all bent over. But then the Lord used Dr. Colton, a prophet from Sri Lanka, to bring in the presence of God, and Jesus literally appeared before her and healed her. And immediately, like the woman mentioned in the gospel, she was able to straighten up. And she stands so proudly before Jesus to let Jesus inspect His healing. And after that incident, she went around the world to conduct crusades, salvation crusades, and we were ushers in one of the crusades that she was conducting. And she was telling on the stage, she is tired of the same old story that she has been telling the world about Jesus. She said, Jesus, everywhere I go, I have been telling people about how I was a crippled, all bent over and this small, and how you straightened me up, literally with you. Epiphany means Jesus literally appeared right before her and healed her on the spot. And she, all, everywhere she goes, she has no other story. Only that one story to tell. And she gets tired of it. But then the Holy Spirit says, even though you have only one story to tell, that is the most powerful story of your life. And it saves souls. It gives hope to people. It gives people the faith to believe that Jesus is still alive and Jesus heals. So daughter, be faithful. Keep telling the same story. I do not know what story you have, but it's not your story. It is a story that God has written about your life. If you want to touch the next generation, you have to tell your story to them. That is why I want to go back. I want to go back to the next generation, the Alpha generation, which is my Apu. I need to tell her about God. Because the way I see Joy handling her, I don't like the depth. I don't like the depth. I told her, I said, in 2026, if I go back, can I have your daughter once a week in my house? And I want to drill her. I want to drill her to memorize the Bible from A to Z. Then Joy said, oh my God. Oh, my poor little girl will all, you know, be pressurized to memorize the Bible. Then I saw in TikTok, this little boy, 4 years old, TikTok, the mother said, hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. B, be ye therefore perfect, even as he is perfect. C, call upon the Lord in the day of your trouble. He will help you and he will, you shall glorify him. D, E, wow, everything. I was amazed. And that is exactly what I want to do to my next generation. There is a story you can tell. Not your own stupid story, but the story that Jesus has written for your life when he saved you that day. Every one of us, Buster, you're saved through Kaluwasan, mia ada isaka story to tell your children, to tell the new generation. Next, number three. Christian parents, that's the third principle. You cannot entrust this divine obligation to someone else. Ephesians 6 says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We don't have to be well-educated or to be a Bible school graduate in order to fulfill this assignment. Simply reading the Bible to our children and assuring them the Word of God that is true is effective enough. So the third principles where we can touch the next generation is no delegation. You cannot delegate the instruction, the teaching to the church. You yourself, as parents, you have to teach your children the Bible. Number four, critical divine obligation. The state of our culture makes this divine obligation even more critical. The world our children inhabit is full of errors, dangers and destruction that could lead the next generation away from Christ. Today's technology can be used to promote the gospel, but at the same time, today's technology distracts young people from what is truly important. Today, in Netflix, most of the shows that they show you are promoting LGBTQ. Today, in the social media, they are trying to show you a lot of LGBT messages to make you numb to the weirdness of LGBTQ. When I was stuck in Manila to process my immigration visa, we received an urgent text from our agent. Please quickly go to Manila by Friday. No office on Saturday. No office on Monday because of Christmas. And Friday, worst pagi, the agent said, half day lang. Half day lang. So my boss, Mr. Lim, My boss will go and pick you up at the airport to save time so that we can process before 12. We panic. How can we get the papers out by 12 noon? And then what happened? Pastor Tony went to check Enquirer and we realized fake news. We arrive at the airport. Cut the story short, okay? She was late in fetching us, and the boss is from Guimaras. And when she drive the Toyota Hilux, I almost said that, God, I must increase my insurance premium. You know, she doesn't know how to drive the Hilux. You know, when she got out the driver's seat, she pushed the driver's seat so near to the steering wheel. The steering wheel is here, the chair is like that, she drive like that. Then I was sitting in front, because I asked Pastor Tony, you sit in front. She said, no, she's a woman, you be the one sit in front. She drives so near, and the engine died a few times. Wow. But cut the story short, we managed to appear before the implementation of the 9G visa. The window showed them our faces, and we finished doing everything by 10:30. At 10:30, she has another agent there who is stationed at Immigration Bureau. She said that, Mom, 10:30, your passport will not be released. We have no passport. Say, your passport will not be released until 4. You go lang, go out, laga laga, go and laga laga. Then you come back by 4 to get your passport. Then I told Pastor Tony, we better not come back at 4 because by 5 o'clock they close. Tomorrow no office, Monday no office. We better come back by 2. They say, you go laga laga. We purposely booked a hotel that is very close to the immigration department called Intramural. And you all know, as Filipino, Intramural is a historical site. And when we went to the hotel walking distance is only 12 minutes. But we purposely booked there is to help our agent not to spend time in the traffic jam to fetch us back to the hotel. So she just turned her car to the back of the Intramural. Our hotel was there. And when we reached the hotel, I said, Abau, Arau, I know what kind of hotel is this? The hotel looks exactly like the colonial white house that is beside Don Baptiste. The Spanish old colonial house. Then I went inside and said, is this haunted? I said, is this haunted? And then, maybe about 300 or 400 meters away, you can see the Intramuros wall that's built during the Spanish time, if I'm not wrong, during the time of Rizal. Hey, this is your historical fathers, you should know the story. So I remember I saw on TikTok, they mentioned 10 haunted places in the whole of Philippines, and Intramural is one of them. I tell you, when I was there, we had to walk. Pastor Tony said, we cannot exercise. So we walked 10,000. We walked, we reached the wall. Then we saw a big tree, very big tree. I saw many people coming down. Then I told Pastor Tony, I'm not going up that tree. I do not know what kind of spirit is there. So I don't want to walk there. Then we turned back again. What I'm trying to tell you is that during the 10:30 to 2 o'clock, we had nothing to do. After putting our bags in the hotel that's near our immigration, Pastor Tony said, let's go to MOA, which is Mall of Asia. I went to Mall of Asia, and after eating our brunch, Pastor Tony said, hey, I need to go to the toilet. I said, hey, you go to the second floor. I will wait for you on the ground floor. Because ground floor, miara, chairs for you to sit. I was sitting there. And you know what happened? There was an ice cream kiosk called Dairy Queen. And I was watching, I like to watch people. I watch people buying, you know. I saw many people buying, and then this Dairy Queen, they have this habit, when they serve you the ice cream, they will scoop the ice cream, then they will let that to you. They will show to you, my ice cream cannot drop. This is a good ice cream, cannot drop. And the line gets longer and longer, and I saw these two teenagers, the Zoomers, the Z generation, and it is a trend now in Manila. They wear the same. Not necessarily the same pattern, but the same, not necessarily exactly the same pattern, the same color, the same design. White t-shirt inside, a jacket that is like a cider color, and a semi-baggy pants. They all wear the same colors. They are about 16 to 18 years old, two girls, lining up to buy the ice cream. And while waiting for them, you know what? Right in front of my eyes. Then I said, are these sisters? Are these sisters? Then I look again, they are not. Lesbians right in front of me kissing. I said, oh my God, what a good show to see. I don't have to go to Netflix. And then I was sitting there, and then walking towards me, because my chair is a semicircle, so sitting at the edge, so I have a space there. Walking towards me, I saw this guy wearing pink color and a tie, very good looking, walking towards me. Wow, very fast, very smart looking. I said, this guy looks like Mark Boras.
But cannot be because he was looking at me.
But he never greet me.
So he said, oh, maybe Ichora Pariho lang. Maybe it's not him. I said, wow. I said, his BB cream is even nicer than mine. So he walk. Then he come and then sit beside me. And then, you know, he was sitting, looking there. I was sitting, looking at the two lesbians. And I was, you know, looking and then waiting for Pastor Tony. So Pastor Tony came down from the second floor, walking in the direction of this guy that seated before me. Suddenly, this guy jumped up. Pastor Tony! Yeah? Where Pastor Tony? Then Pastor Tony, hi, Mark! Oh, he is Mark Gale. It's Mark Boris. Then he turned, oh, Pastor Lily, you're sitting beside me. Then he started to kiss me. I said, oh my God, what am I doing in Manila? It's such a small world. I met Mark Boris. He was there to conduct, I think not to conduct, to be present, okay, in the board passer. 3,000 lawyers, okay, students, legal, law student passed. And he represents his dean to be there. Brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you, our culture is degrading. And we have a critical divine obligation to win the young people back. Number five, how to do that? We have many ways to teach the next generation. First and foremost, begin with your own belief and life experience. But there are also values in passing down what we have learned about the Lord from our parents who are Christian and our grandparents who are Christian to the next generation. The key is diligence. We can't afford to let teaching opportunity pass just because we feel inadequate. Although the Kitty Church, the T-Zone and the Youth Centre are important, they should never be a substitute for parental responsibility. There are many, many ways to teach the next generation. I give you two examples. When we were in Taiwan, my little pudding, which is my apu, Elise, she's 15 months old. Of course, when you're traveling, you know, as a little girl, she just learned to walk. She wanted to run. And she ran a few times, she fell. You know, run, children run, and you fell. What do you do when your children fall? What do you do when your children fall? Especially a toddler. When a child is running and a child falls, what do you do? What do you do? How do you teach your children when they fall? What is the teaching you're passing to your toddler when they fall? What do you do? One of the wrong things I received from our parents, and also Pastor Tony is also doing it the wrong way, I corrected him. When she fell, she picked up, and she cried. So what happened? Pastor Tony said, oh, sayang, you know, look, don't cry. Okay, Grandy beat the floor. Beat the floor. You naughty, but you hurt my apu. I stand there and say, Daddy, stop it. Don't blame the floor. What are you teaching? What are you teaching your child? That every time she falls, it's not her mistake. It's Ibanya's mistake. It is the floor. Bang. You beat the floor. You tampak. You slap the floor. I said, no. Don't do that. What should you do if your child falls? You say, okay, nah. Sigi, don't cry. It's all right. You leave her. Leave up. Stand up again. It's okay. Continue to walk. That's how you should teach. A righteous man falls 7 times, but rises again. If you, your child fall, and you want to touch the next generation by always blaming, every time she fall, oh, it's that person's fault, I will go and vindicate and score that person. Then your child will never learn to take personal accountability and responsibility for his own failures and for his own weakness. Second incident. We're sitting on a breakfast table with a baby chair, and this is her habit. Whatever you give her, she will suck. She will throw. She will throw until the whole floor below is so dirty. So what happened? She not only throw all the food around, she also throw her tumbler, which is her water. She throw, pah. So Joy was very angry. Joy took the chopstick. She said, no, Elise. And Joy used the chopstick and hit her. When she hit, she looked at her mother. She was shocked that the mother hit her. And what happened? Her face like that. Slow motion. Right? And all of us were looking at her. Immediately, Pastor Tony said, ah, sayang. No, I said, no! Don't
Don't do that. Don't do that. And then Mei Mei say, don't cry. Yi is here. Tita is here. Don't cry. You know what I did? When she was crying, I told everyone, don't react. Don't make a hoo-ha. Don't make a hoo-ha. When she is being disciplined, don't make a hoo-ha. Just say, it's okay. Then I say, hee-hee, hee-hee. Laugh, 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 laugh. Then she was, she cannot decide whether to laugh or cry. Then because I was very, very animated, I say, it's all right. It's all right to be scolded by mommy. It's all right. Blah, blah, blah. It's okay. And after that, hee-hee. She laughed. That's the right way. That's the right way to teach your children. There are many ways to teach. That's why she loves me in the end. When Pastor Tony carried, then she come to me. She cannot call me because my name is very complicating. Granny. She cannot call. But she can recognize, where is Grammy? Here. Where is Grandy? Here. She knows. But she cannot call because she's still small. This is how you teach children. How do you Filipino teach children when your children fall? Anna, Arukui, Abab, wrong. That's why when you make mistake, what do? Not me. He. It's his fault, not my fault. You never take personal responsibility. And when we got criticized, oh, heartbroken, cry and cry. And everybody, oh, when you cry, everybody go and shout. And she said, no. When a mother is disciplining the kid, all of us as third party, we support the mother. To show to the child, you're wrong. You did throw the bottle down, you're wrong. And even though it hurts, we are here. But it's okay. It's okay. It's not fatal to be whacked on your hand by a chopstick. It's not fatal. It's okay. You can smile again. You can smile again. And in the end, she smiled. There's two ways you can teach your children. Are you there? Okay, next, number six. Grounding our children in scriptural truth is especially important as they head off to school. You see, today we are living in an anti-God environment. And you cannot rely on your teachers and professors to teach the truth of God to your children. Although there are many teachers who love the Lord in the school, yet the secular education system hinder them from sharing the gospel to the students. So God has given us as parents in our home the responsibility to teach our children to discern between truth and error so that they will be prepared to go out into the world. If we don't courageously stand up for the truth of the scripture, our children and grandchildren may drown in secularism and unbelief. Number seven, we must always talk to our children about spiritual matters. Why? Because the entire society lost interest in the Lord. So at home, always engage in frequent spiritual talk. Just now the point is spiritual grounding. Now is spiritual talk. Always talk to them about God. Tell them about God, about what God has done in your life and what God has done in their life. And number eight, we are living spiritually in a dangerous time and must take a stand for the truth to protect our children. In 1960s, immorality and the pursuit of success and wealth were promoted. In the 1970s, many parents have lost their children to the rebellion against God. In the 2000s, right now, the post-millennial age, we're in the post-modern age right now, they are pushing for LGBT. When I was in Taiwan, okay, wherever I go, I will always see female toilet, male toilet, and then this one, male and female toilet together. Puede, kaya, you can go in. Because Taiwan opposes LGBT. If God's people do not take a stand, the culture will continue this downward trend. There was an argument that I had recently. You see, there was this Christian guy who was so desperate to get a girlfriend. Always wanted to get a girlfriend, but no girlfriend. Waited for so many years, never get a girlfriend. And he is very handsome, not was. He's very handsome. And finally, he got a girlfriend. And he posted the picture of he and his girlfriend. I think, I do not know, on one of the social media. And we saw, and you know, we were talking about it. And the girl looks like Filipino, also doesn't look like Filipino. Well, we know definitely she's not a pure Singaporean. But then one of us, a very busybody, went to her Instagram and checked on her and realized that she is a very famous influencer. And what happened is he found out that she has a tattoo. So I was very concerned for this handsome young Christian guy because I love him. I said, why is he so desperate for a girlfriend? They just get a girl that has a tattoo. One of my kids say, Mom, You see, millennials, see, they are millennials like that. Their value and my value is different.
Mom, tattoo is not a deal breaker. I turn around and say, what? Who told you? The Bible says in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Deuteronomy, tattoo is not allowed by Christian. It is precept. It is not a principle. It's directly mentioned in the Bible. Because we are not allowed to be like a pagan to cut our flesh. So you see, I make a stand. I make a stand. And one of my kids is not happy that I say that. I don't care. I make a stand. Tattoo is wrong. So I doubt. I don't know. I try not to be judgmental. I doubt whether, you know, this lady that this handsome guy is getting along is really, really a good Christian. You see, we like to compromise. We just, for the sake of getting married, we need to grab a guy. But star the guy has the name of Christian, nominal or mediocre, it's okay. It's okay to get married, but it's not. If you marry a mediocre Christian, it is tantamounting to also be unequally yoked. And that is another precept, a stand that I will never compromise when I want to solemnize a wedding. Okay, next, last but not least, the last principle. The task of touching the next generation is not too big for us because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. The Holy Spirit will guide us, help us understand the Word of God, and show us how to reach the next generation. As we open the Bible, we will become more familiar with it, our faith in the Lord will increase, we will learn His truth, and our lives will be changed. Brothers and sisters, we need to touch the next generation. If not, like what the key text says, this new generation, the Z generation, the Y generation, will become a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Message Bible calls it bull-headed and bad, a fickle and faithless bunch who never stayed true to God. Our divine obligation to the next generation is not to conceal them from their children, but we will tell the generation to come the praises of God, the Lord and His power, His wondrous work that He has done. The gospel still remains the main tool we use to touch the next generation. The story of Jesus is still the most powerful testimony we can use to touch the next generation. When Jesus hung on the cross, He did not just only atone for the sinners living in His time, but also for the Old Testament saints, and more importantly, for the future generation that came about 2,000 years after His death. In conclusion, I want to say this. For the year 2024, I want to announce this to you. A lot of emphasis, a lot of work, a lot of money will be directed towards these three departments. Namely, the TKC, the Kitty Church, the T-Zone, the Youth Central. Funds of about 60,000 pesos will be raised soon to enhance the growth, the outreach, the teaching, and the training of the young kids and teens from these three departments. During the K-Zone time, ETA was able to hit 1,000. Our dream attendance. Why? Because of the T-Zone department. About 250 and 300 T-Zone, 11 to 14 years old, young people were ushered into our church, thus causing a rise in our attendance. Today, very sad, our T-Zone has dropped to 60, and there remains much work to be done. TKC in this church used to be 200. Today, it drops to 120. Brothers and sisters, this year, there remains much work to be done for year 2025 to trigger growth, to revamp these three departments, and more importantly, to teach and train the new generation so that one day they can become like Maricel, they can become like Cecilia, they can become like Gideon to be the HOD or youth leaders to the next alpha generation. People, look at the harvest month last year. Look at the recent Christmas choir presentation. Who fueled the programs? It is always the next generation. It's always the young people. So if we do not touch the next generation, the world will get them. And we will lose one generation and this church will die. ETAP needs the youth, the vigor, the energy of the next generation. And I appeal to all of you to help, to give, to train, to volunteer, to teach, to lead, to mentor, to correct, to counsel, and to love the next generation. I need the HOD of these three departments to also have a heart and a burden to look beyond the four walls of ETAP to search for the lost youth, the millennials, the Zoomers, so that you can bring them into the kingdom of God, and also to bring in the alpha, the kids, the babies, the children, the toddlers, to our TKC. I end by saying this to you: touch the next generation. I say again, touch the next generation. And this is the logo that we have for you. Touch the next generation. Show them the logo, please. Thank you. Shall we pray? Just now we saw a big group of workforce. I dare to say, half of it are the Y and the Z generation. What makes ETAP so unique is at the snap of our fingers, we always have workers. And that's because we have the youth church, we have the T-zone, we have the TKC. Today, if you approach the cell leaders to be involved in any programs like dancing or singing, it's very difficult because they are old, their strength is not there anymore. But when you approach the young people, they are very enthusiastic. When I was attending CCF on Christmas Eve, when I entered the church, I was shocked. On the stage was a very big group of choir members composing of the old people. They sang one album, a Christmas choral album that is very good. There was a choir director directing them. Big group, they are the old adults. Mostly they are maybe 30 years old and above. I see some old people inside there too. They were singing. And then the worship department stepped in. There are 7 song leaders. They all came to the front stage. And then they begin to incorporate the choral member with the praise and worship numbers. The choir backed up the worship team, the 7 worship leaders, in the modern praise and worship songs. But in between the old and the worship leader was one whole group of young people, very young people, 15 to 24 years old, dancing away. And on below the stage was another line of young people dancing in accordance to the beat of the song. It was so lively, so vibrant. Nobody cares about the old choir. They don't drag down the entire vibe because there were the young people dancing in tune to the rhythm of the song. And I was very impressed. It's the young people again. It's the young people, it's the next generation that brings in the vigor, the energy, and the vibe of the church. Of course, I give glory to the Holy Spirit for His presence. But this church, we are fueled by the energy and the volunteer and the strength of the young people. But I want to tell you the saddest truth. These 3 departments are not growing. Youth Central is not growing. Sorry, Fernand, I have to say that. T-Zone, you have degenerated. You have lost your glory days. Verona, there's a great job ahead of you. TKC, after we changed the HOD, by appointing Maricel, you went up above 100. But yet, that's still not the optimum attendance for you. Maricel, you still have a lot of jobs to do. I need all of you to cherish the young people of our church. And young people of our church, whether you are in the Z generation group or the Y generation group, I appeal to you. If you don't have a perfect family, you can make ETAP your spiritual home. You can make ETAP your spiritual belonging. You can make ETAP your spiritual significance. But I want to tell you, ultimately, at the end of the day, it is still Christ and God the Father to be the one, to be your ultimate father, to be your ultimate brother. But young people, I want to tell you, we need you. But please, please cooperate with us. To be the youth leader of YC, and yet you want to be the youth leader of T-Zone. It cannot be done. So this is the challenge for the leadership, us as a pastor, us as the elders, to correct you, to discipline you. But when we correct you, don't throw tantrum. Don't be like the millennial kid strawberry, easily bruised, cannot be scolded, cannot be said. And the Bible says that if you hate reproof, you will die. Financially, you will not go far in your career. So young people today, if you have been disciplined by your HOD, if you have been disciplined by the pastors or by the elders, humble yourself, take the discipline, change. Corporate, I want to tell you, there is a future here for you. Look at Maricel, look at Cecilia, look at Gideon. Look at Cecilia alone, she came from a broken home. Poverty, always no money. And always got to eat instant noodle. And today, when she goes to any karinderia, and when somebody order an instant noodle, and then the whiff of the seasoning will come, she feel like vomiting. Why? Because it will trigger her trauma of her old days of being a poor teenager. But today, because she backslided many times, but she came back. And today, God is using her very usefully in the T-zone department. They were all kids in my generation. They were all kids in my generation. But we touched them. Today, they are all pillars of the church. And so can the Y generation, the Z generation, and also the Alpha generation. Shall we all stand? Thank you, Lord.